Chapter 18. I tried to make my stunned body respond, to get to my feet, to unleash every ounce of magic at my command to protect Murphy, and to hell with the consequences. I failed. The Loop Guru hurtled down the hallway, moving faster than I could have believed something so massive could move. Its claws gouged into the tile floor like it was soft clay. The walls shook around the beast, as though its very presence was able to make reality shudder. Bloodstained drool spilled from its foaming jaws, and its green eyes blazed with hellish fury. Murphy, standing at her full 5 feet and change tall, was shorter than the Loop Guru, its eyes on level with hers. She was wearing jeans again, hiking boots, and a flannel shirt rolled up past the elbows, a bandana around her throat. She was without makeup or jewelry, her earlobes curiously naked and vulnerable, without earrings. Her punky little haircut fell down around her eyes, and as she raised her gun, she thrust out her lower lip and puffed out a breath, flipping her bangs up out of her vision. She started shooting when the Loop Guru was about 30 feet away. Useless. The thing had laughed off bullets fired into its skull at point-blank range. I noticed 3 things at that point. First, Murphy's gun was not the usual heavy-caliber Colt semi-automatic she carried. It was smaller, sleeker, with a telescopic sight mounted on its rear. Second, the gun made a little bark, 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 rather than the more customary wham, wham, wham. And third, when the first bullet hit the Loop Guru's chest, blood flew, and the creature faltered and buckled as though surprised. When the second and third shots slammed into its front leg, the limb slipped and went out from under it. The Loop Guru snarled and rolled its momentum to its side, put its head down, and simply smashed its way through the wall and into the room beyond. Murphy and I were left outside in the dusk-clouded hallway, the escape alarm whooping plaintively in the background. Murphy dropped down next to me. "And I told Aunt Edda I never get any use out of those earrings," she muttered. "Christ, Dresden, you're covered in blood. How bad is it?" I felt her slip her hand inside an enormous tear in the blue jean jumpsuit that I'd seen before and run her palm over my chest and shoulders, checking the arteries there. "You're under arrest, by the way."
I'm okay, I panted when I could breathe. "What the hell happened? How did you do that?"
Murphy rose up, lifted the gun to half-raised, and stalked toward the hole the Loop Guru had left in the wall. We could hear crashing sounds, heavy thumps, and furious snarling somewhere on the other side. "You have the right to remain silent. What do you think happened, you moron? I read your report. I make my loads for competition shooting, so I ran off a few silver bullets last night. But they're only .22 caliber, so I'm gonna have to put one through his eyes to take him out, if that'll do it."
"22?" I complained, still breathless. "Couldn't you make some 38s or 44s?
"Bitch and whine," Murphy snarled at me. "You have the right to an attorney. I don't make loads for work, and I didn't have the materials for it. Be happy with what you have." I scrambled to my feet and leaned against the wall by the ragged hole. There was a sound of running feet moving toward us down the hall. "I can't believe you're arresting me. What's through that wall?"
"Records, archives," Murphy said, leveling the target pistol at the hole. "A bunch of big old file cabinets and computers. Everyone who works there went home hours ago. How's that thing react to tear gas?"
"Send some in there and I'll tell you," I muttered, and Murphy shot me a dire look.
"Just stay down, Dresden, until I get you locked up somewhere safe and get a doctor to look at you."
"Murph, listen to yourself. We're stuck in a building with one of the nastiest creatures around and you're still trying to arrest me. Get some perspective."
"You made your bed, jerk. Now lie in it." Murphy then raised her voice without turning her head from the hole in the wall.
"Carmichael! Down here! I want 4 on the doors going out of records and the rest with me. Rudolph, get down here and get Dresden back to the office, out of the way."
She glared at my wrists, where the handcuffs she'd put on me the night before still dangled.
"Christ, Dresden," she added in a mutter. "What is it with you and my handcuffs?"
"Police. Most of them plainclothes guys from special investigations came pouring into the hall. Some of them had pistols, some of them had pump-action riot guns. My vision blurred and swirled between gray tones and technicolor, and adrenaline made my nerves jangle and jerk.
The potion must have been wearing off. Most potions last for only a couple of minutes anyway. I took inventory. The loop guru's teeth had scored my foot through the boot. It hurt, and my sock was soaked with blood. I would leave little red footprints on the floor when I started walking. I could taste blood in my mouth from where I'd bitten into my tongue, and I either had to spit or swallow. I swallowed. No comments, please. My back was mostly numb, and what wasn't numb hurt like hell. My wounded shoulder, naturally, was pounding so hard that I could barely stand. "Bastard chewed up my good boot," I muttered, and for some reason the statement struck me as incredibly funny. Maybe I'd just seen too much for the evening, or whatever had caused it. I sailed into panting, wheezing gales of laughter. Carmichael dragged me back. His round face was red with exertion and tension, and his food-stained tie was loose around his throat. He passed me into the custody of a young, good-looking detective who I didn't recognize. He must have been a rookie with SI. I leaned against the young man and laughed helplessly. "Take him back to the office, Rudolph," Carmichael said. "Keep him there, out of the way. As soon as this is under control, we'll get him a doctor." "Jesus Christ," Rudolph said, his eyes wide, his short, dark hair coated with drifting dust. He had a tense, panicky voice, and in spite of his youth, he was panting twice as heavily as the veteran Carmichael. "You saw the security monitors, right? What that thing did to Sergeant Hampton?" Carmichael grabbed Rudolph by the front of his shirt and shook him. "Listen up, Rook," he said, his voice harsh. "It's still there, and it can do it to us just as quick as to Hampy. Shut your hole and do what I told you." "Right," Rudolph said. He straightened and started jerking me back down the hallway away from the records office. "Who is this guy, anyway?" Carmichael glared at me. "He's the guy who knows. If he comes to and says something, listen to him." Then he picked up a riot gun and stomped over to where Murphy was getting set to lead the group through the hole in the wall after the loop guru. She was going over instructions that if she went down, one of the men was to pick up her gun and try to put out the thing's eyes with it. The rookie half-dragged and half-led me around the corner and down the hall to the Special Investigations office. I stared down at my feet as he did, at the trail of bloody footprints behind me, giggling. Something was nagging at me, somewhere behind the madness of the laughter, where the diffident, rational corner of my mind was waiting patiently for my consciousness to take notice of an important thought it had isolated. Something about blood. "This isn't happening," Rudolph chanted to himself along the way. "This isn't happening. Sweet Jesus, it's a trick for the new guy. A prank. It's gotta be." He stank of sour sweat and fear. He was shaking horribly. I could feel it in my biceps where he held me. I think it was his terror that let me see through my own hysteria, fight it down, and shove it under control again. He hauled me through the door into the Special Investigations office, and I stumbled to the battered, sunken old couch just inside the door. I gasped for air while the rookie slammed the door and paced back, his eyes bulging, wheezing for air. "This isn't happening," he said. "My God, this isn't happening." "Hey," I managed after a minute, struggling to sort out all the input raging through my body. Tears, bruises, maybe a strain or two. A little bit of chill where the shock was lurking, and aching sides from the laughter of all things. The rookie didn't hear me. "Hey, Rudy," I said, louder, and the kid snapped his eyes over to me, as though shocked that I'd spoken. "Water," I told him. "I need some water." "Water, right," Rudolph said, and he turned and all but ran to the water fountain. His hands were shaking so hard that he crushed the first two paper cones he took from the dispenser, but he got the third one right. "You're that guy. A fake." "Wizard," I rasped back to him. "Harry Dresden." "Dresden, right," the kid said, and came back over to me with a paper cone. I took it and splashed the contents all over my face. It was a cool shock, something else to draw me back from the land of giggles and throbbing nerve endings, and I clawed for all the sane ground I could get, and I handed the cone back to him. "One more for the inside." He stared at me as though I was mad. And who's to say, right? And went to get another cone cup of water. I drank the second one down and started sorting through my thoughts. "Blood, Rudy," I said. "Something about blood.
God, the rookie panted, the whites of his eyes glaring. It was all over Hampton. Blood all over the room. Splashed on the plexiglass and the security camera. Blood? Goddamn blood everywhere. What the fuck is that thing? Just one more tough bad guy. But it bleeds, I said. Then fastened on the idea, my brain churning to a ponderous conclusion. It bleeds. Murphy shot it and put its blood all over the floor. I gulped down the rest of the water and stood. It bleeds, and I can nail it. I lifted my fist to shake it defiantly over my head and strode past the stunned Rudolph.
Hey, he said feebly. Maybe you should sit down. You don't look so good, and you're sort of under arrest still.
I can't be under arrest now, I said back to him. I don't have time. I limped down the rows of desks and partitions to Murphy's office. It's a little tacked-on office with cheap walls of wooden paneling and an old wooden door, but it was more than anyone else in the disfavored department had. There was a paper rectangle taped neatly to the door, where a name placard would have been in any other office in the building, which read in neat block letters of black ink, Lieutenant Karen Murphy, Special Investigations. The powers that be refused to purchase a real name plaque for the director of SI, sort of their way of reminding the person they stuck in the position that they wouldn't be there long enough to matter. Underneath a neat paper square at the end was a red and purple bumper sticker that said, "Trespassers will be killed and eaten." I hope she didn't leave her computer on, I mumbled and went into Murphy's office. I took one look around the neatly organized little place and stepped in to pluck my blasting rod, bracelet, amulet, firearm, and other accoutrements I had in my possession when I'd been arrested from the table next to the computer. The computer was on. There was a cough from the monitor as my hand passed near it, and a little puff of smoke, then a bright spark from somewhere within the plastic console of the hard drive. I winced and collected my things, putting on the shield bracelet with fumbling fingers, ducking my head into the loop of my pentacle amulet, stuffing my pistol into the jumpsuit's pocket, and taking my blasting rod firmly in my right hand, the side of my body that projects energy. You didn't see that, Rudy, okay? The rookie had a stunned look on his face as he stared at me in the smoking computer and monitor. What did you do? Nothing. Never came close. Didn't do anything. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, I muttered. You got that paper cup. Right then. All we need is a stuffed animal. He stared at me. What did you say? A stuffed animal, man, I roared at him. Don't mess with a wizard when he's wizarding. I let out a cackle that threatened to bring the wild hysteria that still lurked inside of me back in full force and banished it with a ferocious scowl. Poor Rudolph bore the brunt of both expressions, got a little more pale than he already was, and took a couple of steps back from me. Look, Carmichael still keeps a couple of toys in his desk, right? For when kids have to wait for their parents, that sort of thing? Said the rookie. I brandished my blasting rod. Go look. Maybe the kid would have taken any excuse at that point, but he seemed willing enough to follow my instructions. He spun and ran into the main room and started frantically tearing open desks. I limped out of Murphy's office and glanced back at the bloody footprints I'd left on the puke-gray carpet behind me with my soaking sock. The room was getting colder as I lost more blood. It wasn't serious, but it was all the way at the bottom of my considerably long body, and if I didn't get some bleeding stopped before too much longer, it was bound to cause problems. I was going to bend over and try to get a better look at my wounded foot, but when I started to, I swayed and bobbled dangerously and thought it would be better to wait until someone else could do it. I stood up and took a couple of deep breaths. Something nagged me about this entire deal. Something that was missing, but I'd be damned if I could figure out what it was. Rudy, I called out. You get that animal yet? The rookie's hand thrust up from one of the partitioned cubicles with a battered stuffed Snoopy doll. Will this work? Perfect, I said woozily. And then all hell broke loose.